It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Joining us now is Pastor Sakile Masilela, who is going to be answering this question for us. Mfundisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome back, and thank you very much for agreeing to answer our questions this week.
Hello.
Mfundisi,
forgive me for the noise.
Yes, that's all right. That's all right, as long as we can hear you, Mfundisi. So let's just jump right in, Mfundisi. This question, I thought, was a rather perceptive a question. This person is asking, how can God be both just and merciful? And the very concept of justice is that if somebody does harm to me, harm should be visited upon them. If you shed the blood of men, by men your blood shall be shed. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's what the Old Testament teaches us. Where is mercy there? Because mercy presupposes that you are not going to shed the blood of the one who has shed them. You don't have the right to avenge yourself. You don't have to. You no longer have that right. It seems as though there is no longer justice, because mercy takes over justice, cancels out justice, according to this person. So how can both of these things occur? There you go. How can they occur at the same time? Surely, when we speak of mercy, we're speaking of restraining yourself and stopping yourself from doing what you are rightfully entitled to do. I think we've lost the line to the pastor. They were trying to call him back. But that's the theory. The theory is, if you're going to be just, somebody breaks your arm, their arm must be broken. That's justice.
Hello.
Yes, I'm here, Mfundisi. So
I can.
So the concept of justice presupposes that if you crash my car, I have the right to crash yours. If you break my arm, I have the right to break yours. That's justice. But now mercy says, even though I have the right to break your arm because you broke mine, I should not. I should exercise mercy. Now, if I am not exercising, if I'm exercising mercy, that means there's no justice. According to this person, it appears as though justice then is canceled out by mercy. And if you are not going to be merciful, then you're going to be just. They cannot occur at the same time. In the sense, the person is asking, how can God be both? How is he both merciful and just? It's either he's merciful or he's just. Your response, Mfundisi.
My response to that is this. That God is just and merciful for this one simple reason. When we are supposed to face the consequences of our actions, God faces those consequences on our behalf, but keeps the law the way it is so that we can get ourselves in proper standing with the law. So what that then means is that he then takes our faults on our behalf, and then we take his righteousness and learn from him so that we can be like him, so that the consequences that are supposed to come our direction to our direction. That's the beauty of justice and mercy. And so he's merciful because he gives us another chance when we are not deserving, and he chastises himself as if he is the one who has done the action.
But that's not justice, Mfundisi. You can't beat child A for wrongs of child B. Child B must account for his own problems, and child A must account for his own. You can't have somebody else accounting for somebody else's wrongs. This idea of Jesus dying for other people, there's no justice there. A rapist must suffer rape. A murderer must be murdered. There's no way we can call that justice if a murderer goes scot-free. He never gets murdered himself. If a rapist is going to go scot-free, no one rapes him. There's no way we can call that justice, Mfundisi. Call it somebody else, something else. But that's not justice.
Well, see, the beautiful thing about the Bible is the following.
Yeah.
That when God describes himself, when he judges, he's an old man.
Right.
All right.
Right.
And when he fights, he's a young guy. And when he loves, he's a young guy as well. which is found specifically in the book of Songs of Solomon and in many other parts of the Bible.
Right.
So the issue that we then now face is that the imagery of God as a young guy seems to be as if he's an other. So we speak about Jesus as if he's an other, and yet he's not an other. He is God himself taking the punishment of human beings so that we can be all right. So he does not chastise another person. He chastises himself so that we can get a chance to make things right.
I understand that's mercy, Mfundisi. I need you to explain, where then do we see justice there? If a rapist is going to go around raping and then Jesus takes the sin, he dies for that rapist. The rapist doesn't get any justice. There's no justice there. It's Jesus who gets to suffer for the sins of the rapist. Why? Where's the justice there? Why are we ignoring the just part? I understand you've explained the merciful part very beautifully, but the just, where do we see the justice in that?
The justice is in this, that the consequences are not removed from the natural happening of things. The only person that is removed is the participant. And sometimes, even though the participant is not removed, the participant is given the very ramifications of what they are supposed to experience without the actual damnation of the consequences that they are supposed to experience.
Where is the justice there, Mfundisi? Because the issue is not this person. This rapist didn't just rape a stone. He raped a person. Therefore, him as a person must suffer the same consequences. Yeah. But those consequences don't seem to come back to him.
The consequences do come back to the person.
Like how?
However, for instance, if I go and steal whatever needs to be stolen, whatever the case may be, I will get jail time for being a thief. Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about now, God. God doesn't have a jail them for this. I need you to give us an example in terms of God.
I must be honest with you. It's a very tough concept to explain without the merciful part of it, because the issue there is that the justice must continue. I mean, the law is there. The consequences of the law is there.
So however, is it possible that this person is right, Mfundisi?
To come back.
Is it this person who's asking this question, and this is me, I have not spoken to him or her. This is just me trying to analyze the question. It's possible that this person is correct to suggest that they cannot occur. Justice and mercy cannot occur in the same place.
Well, there is justice. You see, I want to differ with the person. Is not taken away, and most cases the person is also not taken away. Now the difference here, of course they're going to use the story of Barabbas and
Mfundisi, your line is breaking up there.
All right, and that's the beautiful
sorry Mfundisi, please start again. You said that of course they're going to use the story of Barabbas, and then you got cut.
They are going to use the story of Barabbas.
Oh, Barabbas.
Barabbas. Yeah. He was removed. Justice in this, that Barabbas needs to face the consequences of his actions. Okay. And he is not devoid of the consequences of his actions.
But Barabbas never faced the consequence of his actions, Mfundisi. He was freed.
Yes. Yes, but it is the conscience that this is my supposition, by the way.
Yeah.
Let me just clarify that.
Right.
I believe Barabbas had to face the consequences of seeing another person suffer for things that he has done. That does not sit well with you as a person, generally.
But there are people there are people who that sits well, very well. That's why they hide and they accuse other people for their wrongs. They do wrong and then they accuse people falsely for their wrongs. They hide. That's what criminals do. This is what evil does, Mfundisi. People don't go and commit crimes and they hide so that they are not found. They don't face the consequences. They sleep very well at night. People now, they practice for all sorts of corruption and they become wealthy and they sleep very well at night in their city posapidic beds. So their consciences have no place. The Barabbas, there's nowhere you can ever imagine a criminal who gets freed from prison is going to lose sleep over it. No, he never lost sleep over it. He thought, yeah, I'm happy. Yeah, let him die.
Well, look, the best thing that I can say.
Right.
The person does face the consequences. However, because Jesus has come into the picture, they're then given mercy to say, look, you might have known and not known what you have done. And because you have known or not known what you have done, we're going to give you a chance to be able to repent and do what's right. Now, the justice part of things is on the simple premise that the law of the Lord is not removed from the statutes of human beings or on how to govern human beings. Okay, the only thing when a person faces, like in our day-to-day, we all face the consequences of our actions. And as we face the consequences to our actions, we are then given those consequences in a much more limited format, not because we are being we are not supposed to get the full might of everything that we're supposed to experience. Is the one that is going to experience the consequences, because each and every human being does sin. But the driving force of sin, what is that? That's the question. So the driving force of sin is the devil. And so because the devil is the one that is doing these things, using us as pawns,
the devil doesn't rape, the devil doesn't steal, the devil doesn't kill. No, the devil doesn't do any of that. It's people who rape.
But
people who kill, people who steal.
I agree with you, but you must understand, the biblical understanding is that human beings were brought into original sin, not because they wanted to be in original sin. They were brought into sin.
Yeah,
okay? And so for instance, it's like a person getting the consequences of an action that they were not part of in the beginning, for instance. So we must be given mercy because we were not necessarily the participants to this reality. So mercy must be there, but justice is also there. It is there on the basis that God takes the fall for us so that we can reform and become right. I think that's the best I can try and fathom the question as best
as I
can.
No, I hear you, Mfundisi. All right, Mfundisi, that's how we end our series of conversations with you. We really appreciate you coming through to answer them, especially when we asked you on Tuesday to come and stand in. I really appreciate that, Mfundisi. May God bless you for that. Of course, Mfundisi.
I hope I was able to answer the questions.
Yes. By virtue of you just picking up the call, Mfundisi, and taking us through a theological trajectory, that's helpful in and by itself.
Thank you very much.
Your willingness to be patient with people like me who are not theologically trained, I am grateful for that, Mfundisi. Ngosi Mfundisi.
I appreciate the opportunity as well.
Ngosi Mfundisi. Have a wonderful day, Father Mfundisi.
Thank you. Same to you.
All right. That's how we end our series of questions. Ask a pastor questions for this week. You have also the benefit of us sending your questions, and we'll find a pastor who will answer your question. You're listening to Adventist World Radio. I'm Nayolo Punan. We're live until 3.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.